This is Jeff Cobert, and we welcome you to Disney Insights. Over the last couple of decades, Disney has been attentive and has invested seriously in supporting guests with disabilities. I suppose it was a slow news day, but social media influencers decided to call what I think was almost fire in the lightning lane. Headlines and statements were irresponsible and in most cases, just wrong. We will look at Disney's history in providing accessibility, their approach. We will look at the statements and changes Disney is looking to enact, and I'll offer some honest and candid feedback on what is working and what may be the challenges moving forward. All of this comes in the context that I have myself several autistic children, one of which struggles to function in tighter spaces without impacting the experience of others. If you really want to understand what is happening, join us on this podcast where we will explore the challenges and efforts Disney makes in its approach to guest accessibility. Make sure you check out DisneyInsights.com. It's going to have some important links and some other key notes to accompany this podcast. And I want to begin by apologizing. Actually, a week ago, I had recorded about 80% of this podcast right before I got on a plane to head out with clients to DC. I didn't get the chance to finish it. I put my equipment in the suitcase to take with me. But I had a very unsettled feeling about this podcast. And frankly, I'm re-recording it today because I wanted to provide it in the most responsible way possible. And I think that required me taking some time, as intimately as I am in the middle of DAS usage when I'm in the parks. I want to take some time to reflect and think and consider what are the issues and so forth. I by no means am going to toe the line with all that Disney says. There are some things I'm going to point out, but I'm also going to probably be a considerable advocate for what Disney does in terms of guest accessibility across the entire continuum. I remember a number of years ago, back when I was, I believe, with Mouse Planet, it was a time when I want to say Toy Story 4 had come out, and we were invited to a press event that began with a presentation on guest accessibility in the parks. And as someone who is in the parks all the time and sees a lot of what's going on, I walked away pretty surprised by how many things Disney was doing in a very responsible, very proactive, intentional way to improve the total guest experience, especially with those who have some issue or challenge with a particular disability or whatever it might be. So when the headlines came out a couple of weeks ago, about 10 days ago, I was not happy with the kinds of statements that were being made. Statements such as headline, Disney eliminating disability access service, DAS. Well, that is just not the case. They have not eliminated this service. Another statement was, quote, there was a 900% increase in people using DAS passes after the pandemic, end of quote. Well, that is not necessarily true at all. And I'll talk a little bit about where that quotation may have come. Another individual said, quote, DAS usage has reportedly tripled over the past 5 years and become unwieldy, hence the update. Again, we'll look at that statement, which is probably at the source of all this. And then finally, a fourth one, confirmed, Disney inflicts new punishment on thousands beginning next month. I'm really surprised. I know that Disney's imperfect and there are issues around accessibility, especially when it relates to their IT work or having to have an interface with a cast member where things don't go the way they ought to go. Always there's a need for more training, but frankly, most frontline cast members struggle to know how to address issues with accessibility. Just simply using the correct language and so forth can be a challenge for many. I even struggle, even though I have some window into this personally. I want to just reflect on, and there's a website that I will give you a link to. I think it's very helpful. It is essentially what is referred to as accessibility at Walt Disney World Resort. And I don't mean to read through all of this. Probably that one of the challenges is that it's not an easy place in the website to find. If you type in DAS, you're not going to go to the site. And so this is why I think it's important to provide this link, because it gives the greater window to what's going on. Disney is as it states in the headline, Disney is dedicated to providing a great experience for all guests, including those with disabilities, which is why we are so committed to delivering a wide range of innovative support services aimed at helping our guests with disabilities have a wonderful time when visiting our theme parks. Explore services for guests with disabilities, including pre-arrival sources, downloadable guides, and services available while visiting the Walt Disney World Resort. Beyond the homepage, which takes you out to things such as, well, have you considered this in these issues around parking or transportation, around wheelchair and ECV rentals, around accessing attraction queues, and also services at Disney hotels. They actually break out this entire, and it's a fairly involved section. They break it out into five different topics. One dealing with mobility, one dealing with neurodivergent, which emphasizes autism, which has become kind of a centerpiece of the entire discussion recently. One around service animals, one with deaf and hearing loss, one with blind and low vision. One supposes, for instance, with mobility, that if you are a guest requiring wheelchair assistance, then that initially provides you access with a DAS pass. And that is not necessarily the case at all. That can vary from attraction to attraction. That can vary from resort to resort. Most of these concepts are laid out between Disneyland and Walt Disney World, but Disneyland is an older park where many of the queues are switchback and they're narrow and they haven't been. So you'll see, for instance, when you're at Snow White's Adventures, Enchanted Adventures, I can't remember the new title, but you'll see that there's actually a special place where you can kind of come in and not have to go through that kind of back and forth wheelchair access. That's an example of it. What Disney has tried to do as it has developed more attractions over the years is it has tried to widen the paths of those queues so that wheelchair parties could go together through the queuing experience. There are a couple examples of this. One of the best examples of this is the Haunted Mansion, where for many years, a guest with a wheelchair was just simply directed toward the exit of the attraction, where after X number of guests came through, they would slow down the belt or stop the belt to allow a guest in a wheelchair or their party to then access the attraction at the exit. What Disney did over time, and it's been in place for a couple of years now, is that now you are able to go through the entire queue of the attraction. And after you go through the stretch room, there is then a new hallway, or newer hallway. It's been there a few years. A newer hallway that you can then go through in order to access that exit. So you do not need to be the focus of the guest experience trying to get on the attraction, which can be sometimes awkward or embarrassing. So that is one example of what Disney has done with those who have mobility impairments. Another example that is very impressive is when you go through Toy Story Mania. There you'll see that your wheelchair party at some point, rather than going up the stairs and down a hallway and then down the stairs to access the attraction, you are redirected after having gone through the queue for some point in time to a separate loading area. And I love that separate loading area because it gives you all the time in the world to carefully and successfully make that, to move from a wheelchair or an ECV into your vehicle and not feel like there is a certain pressure to get going, get the attraction moving. And then when you are completely and safely secured in your vehicle, it then moves the vehicle into the main line. That also, by the way, helps with the issues around efficiency, because honestly, like the Haunted Mansion, you will often be on that attraction and the attraction will at some point slow down and you'll hear a voice saying, prankish spirits have temporarily interrupted our journey, please remain in your doom buggy. When you hear that, most of the time, more than 9 out of 10 times, it's because a wheelchair party is trying to make that transfer at the exit of the attraction. It's not because the ride has broken down. In another situation, dealing with wheelchairs, and it's a pretty fantastic one. By the way, that example I gave with Toy Story Mania also carries through when you are in the Skyliner, because they are able to take Skyliner buckets and separate them from the regular flow of the Skyliners and give people who are moving into the Skyliner the ability to successfully do that without interrupting the flow of others and while giving them as much time as they need to. In addition, Disney also invests heavily in terms of making the ride attraction itself. There are a couple of examples of this. One is perhaps what you see in the Jungle Cruise. I had heard numbers that would make your head spin. I'm not going to announce those numbers because I don't have it in writing. But they spent an enormous amount of funding to create a Jungle Cruise vehicle where a wheelchair party could be literally wheeled onto the Jungle Cruise and put into a center position on the boat without having to get out of the wheelchair at all. Now, the process that involves does affect the efficiency of the attraction and has since it's been introduced, but Disney still feels very strongly about giving guests the ability to enjoy the Jungle Cruise, and hence they have spent a considerable amount on that particular boat. In another example, you'll remember, or if you've seen the 3 o'clock parade, you'll know that usually there's some kind of guest of the day that appears in a white limo style old-fashioned vehicle coming down Main Street well ahead of the parade. Well, that vehicle has been outfitted for any number of accessibility issues, making it all the easier for any guest to be recognized and given an opportunity to be part of the parade. I think those kinds of investments show, in my mind, that Disney has done a pretty amazing job in creating the best guest experience possible. But it's not the only place. For instance, the ability for service animals to be utilized in the parks. You probably see a number of service animals. Have you ever seen the little corners, places where those animals can actually go out and take care of themselves? There's dedicated spaces throughout the park to do that. In the case of blind and low vision, there are a number of apps and utilities. Maybe you've seen the map, the Braille map of the park, which is updated whenever there are changes made to attractions there. Those Braille maps are usually in a central place available to guests, but there are also Braille guidebooks that are used and portable tactile maps that are a part. Also, audio descriptions. Again, apps to be able to improve your experience. For those who are deaf or have hearing losses, my favorite thing is while there's handheld captioning and video captioning, have you ever seen reflective captioning where there's kind of this little mirror or piece of glass that where you sit in a theater and the words of the attraction, the music or whatever it may be, are there. There are even written scripts. There are resort amenities put in place to do it. But my favorite thing of all is sign language interpretation. And I tell you, you can never be too close to those individuals. It's a third-party service that comes in. They do a fantastic job of providing sign language interpretation. I have observed them in action. And honestly, I have to say, sometimes it brings me to tears how they portray an experience like Finding Nemo the Musical or Festival of the Lion King. These are all examples where Disney has paid attention and been intentional in its effort to provide the best experience. And frankly, it has received rewards and acclamations from organizations that focus on these areas, applauding them for their efforts. And in fact, they also counsel and interact with these same communities to better understand what services they ought to offer or how they should modify or build out those services. So for me, going into this announcement on DAS, I think if anything, people should have been given the benefit, Disney should have been given the benefit of the doubt that they are trying to do the right thing. Now, has Disney tried to do the right thing? It hasn't quite worked? Yeah. Again, sometimes the IT doesn't work or it isn't perfected to where it needs to be. Sometimes the cast members don't understand and they muck it up, which, by the way, I think is one of the great things about this set of changes is if there's a common theme I have heard frequently, it's that the cast member at the guest experience blue umbrella, or maybe even going back to guest relations, they have maybe not understood or not portrayed the right verbal, nonverbal skills and have non-intentionally offended someone or hurt somebody, and it just hasn't been. So there's some changes coming, and those changes also, by the way, help to address some issues of abuse. There is abuse of the system. How expansive is that abuse? I'm not sure. I'm not sure anybody knows. Andrew Kemp, because so many people had quoted that abuse of the system had tripled since 2019, I kept looking for where is that quotation coming from. And I found an article by Andrew Campa of the Los Angeles Times in which he said, quote, this week, the company, quote, reset, end of quote, elements of the disability access services system, whose use has tripled since 2019, a Disney spokesperson confirmed to the Times. End of quote. I'm a little surprised that we don't have a name for a Disney spokesperson. And whether that spokesperson was speaking officially on the record or unofficially, I'm not saying that Disney hasn't spoken unofficially or tried to bring things through the midst of social media in mysterious ways. But I think that most of the announcements Disney wants to make in regard to the disability access services system, they have wanted to say formally and not necessary through informal means. So I just had a problem that the Los Angeles Times, of all people, had not even named the spokesperson, which seems like a responsible thing to do in journalism. To the degree, there are some, including Lentesta, and I would assume that he has done his stats. I mean, that's his business and so forth. But that has caused him to project that 60 to, well, he had said on one instance in a quotation to the Orlando Sentinel, it would not, quote, it would not surprise me if you told me that somewhere between 60 and 80% of the lightning lane usage at popular attractions is DAS usage, Testa said. There's no way that 60, 80% of the U.S. population has a disability that prevents them from waiting in line. End of quote. I have listened to his podcast of how he kind of got to those numbers, and I respect him for his efforts to be to get the data right. That said, as someone who has been in the DAS experience, I don't find most of the times it to be 60, 80% of the people in that queue to be DAS persons. For example, recently I had an opportunity. Now, I just for clarification, I have children who deal with autism, two in a very real way. One is high functioning. We do not get her a DAS pass. I've always expected her to stand in line if needs be, if there's something she wants to go on. I have another child who is low functioning, who is larger than life, larger than me in life even, and who can be very animated and can create a very kind of a disruptive situation in a line that does not move quick enough. I think if you have a line moving quick enough that you don't have as many problems, but I'll come back to that hopefully a little later. But anyway, I saw from time to time, you for instance see at Ratatouille, that the DAS or that the lightning lane for Ratatouille is running all the way from the entrance of the attraction, all the way past the fountain, all the way past the restaurant, and even to the place where it turns the corner. That's how long that line is. In fact, the other day I noticed it was barely 40 people in the standby line outside the building. And yet that line was apparently a 120-minute wait, which means I guess they move about 2 feet every 10 minutes. I guess. At any rate, I just took the opportunity to observe from a distance, not interrupting anybody's personal experience, but I observed the lightning lane as it started coming through as I waited for my wife and child to come up to the very front. I observed there was probably about 100 that went through that were standing outside of the building. I don't pretend to be scientific, but I do know what a DAS family pretty well looks like, because there's a certain pattern by which you enter. You just can't just go in and throw your Magic Band Plus or your ticket or whatever up to the scanner and go through. It has to be the DAS person or the person holding the DAS person. They must be present to be for that party to go through. Which is why many times we never use our DAS pass, because our son doesn't want to go on the attraction. That's just how that is. Anyway, once that first person, the individual that is the reason for holding a DAS pass, once that person beeps in, then the cast member has to give an okay to that, and then the rest of the party can then enter. Otherwise, everybody goes to blue. The first person usually always goes to blue, but everybody else will go to blue if they come in beforehand or if that first person hasn't. Anyway, long story short, I noticed about six families, roughly 4 to 5, who entered the queue during that time that a total 100 came through. Again, not scientific, but from my observation, At best, you're talking about 30% of that queue was DAS families. Do I think it's up there in that 80%? I'm struggling to think that. Do I think it may have tripled? That may be. But I do think that the DAS pass originally started maybe around the 8 to 12% and then has tripled since. Do I think there are certain attractions that attract DAS parties more than other? Absolutely. So this, again, is not scientific. But I do think, however, that there is abuse to the system. I completely concur with that. And I do think that this change will help to curb much of that abuse. Do I think that's going to take away 50% of those who are DAS holders? I'm not so sure. One of the things that I think creates for abuse is that some families decide to bring in 10 or 12 people or some large number underneath that DAS pass. And I think that's far too extensive. I think what they are doing moving forward is saying, okay, if there's a DAS pass holder, then there would be an additional three individuals who could be with that party to create a party of four, or the number of people in that immediate family, which is essentially the same standard by which Disney allocates passes to its cast members. If you are a cast member and you're single, then you get three others. If you are a dad, like I was, with six kids, then you got eight passes to include myself. And so that's where I think Disney's going to be flexible on that to some degree. But I think the days of 10 or 12 going through, I think that's not likely to occur. I don't see that happening. Now, one of the challenges, again, I think this is more about where links were, but if you type in DAS, you get a new page, an updated page. And that updated page is what's given a lot of angst to some individuals. It says in this page, learn how this DAS, or Disability Access Service DAS, learn how the service supports guests who, due to a developmental disability like autism or similar, are unable to wait in a conventional queue for an extended period of time. Plus, find details about the registration process and usage guidelines. Then it says accommodating guests with disabilities. Disney Parks have an unwavering commitment to providing a welcoming, inclusive environment and accessible experiences for guests. I'm just going to stop there and say one more time. I really do believe they do that. And I think that's why there are so many guests who do come with those challenges, because they find this environment above other environments that they could go take their vacation on being a guest-friendly environment for those with disabilities. Going on, it says DAS is one of the programs offered at Walt Disney World theme parks intended to accommodate only those guests who, due to a developmental disability like autism or similar, are unable to wait in a conventional queue for an extended period of time. Then it goes into instructions of what's happening April 9th through May 19th. You'll notice we're in that period right now. And what's going to happen after May 19th and so forth. I'm not going to go into all the details, but let me just say what to know about DAS. Again, this is what it says, quote, DAS is intended to accommodate a small percentage of guests who, due to developmental disability like autism or similar, are unable to wait in a conventional queue for an extended period of time. DAS doesn't provide immediate access to experiences, but rather allows guests to request a return time for a specific experience that is comparable to the current standby wait. Third, the guest who is requesting to use DAS must be present during registration and experience the attraction when redeeming a DAS return time at Walt Disney World theme parks. Now, part of what's giving a lot of people angst is what I've just read in the last couple of minutes. They've mentioned not once, not twice, not three times, autism. They don't mention other kinds of disabilities. On this page, they focus on autism. Mind you, 15 years ago, nobody even was talking about the word autism. In fact, the service of DAS, I think, is 11, 12 years old. And now, finally, it's actually being acknowledged. But if you think that you, with a disability, have been ignored, remember, go back to the other page, which has entire pages for those who are mobility impaired, those needing service animals, those with deaf and hearing losses, those with blind and low vision, as well as those who are neurodivergent, who in many cases include, by and large, those with autism. And even with those on that page, they give a lot of suggestions. Taking a break, choosing a meeting location, dietary accommodations, being aware of sensory experience details, bringing a headset. My son wants a headset if he's watching fireworks, for instance. Making a plan and studying the location. Some of it seems basic, perhaps to those who go to a park all the time. But honestly, there are many families who come with disabilities and they have no idea that these services are available. And that's why this larger site is available. But that's not the site everybody's been was pointing to. It was pointing to the DAS site. Do I think that those who are not autistic are going to have some accommodation with DAS passes? Yes, to some degree. Not so much those with wheelchairs, because Disney has addressed wheelchair parties in a different way. Although even the other day, I saw wheelchair parties returning to a location with what seemed to be a DAS pass, because again, one party had, the first individual had to wait before others in the party could go through theirs, which is usually a sign of somebody with a DAS pass. Now, in its explanation, they've made some changes of how this is going to work. And the first of these is, and the biggest aspect of it, is registering. Registration, which we usually, well, back in the day, before 2019, was done by standing in a very slow and long line at guest relations, was then moved into, as we kind of moved into the 50th, and past the COVID period, was brought out to, which was about 2019 when the online service came up. Guest experience locations throughout the park were created, and you came to one of these blue tents with cast members, and you took care of that experience signing up there, which was really handy, because back in the day, you would get into the park and you say, well, let's get a DAS pass. And you'd realize your pass had expired. And so you had to go back down the street to guest relations or town square or to town hall, city hall, and go into that line. It was just really messy. And then in the old days, you also had to go to the attraction you were looking to return to get your return time and then come back to the attraction, which was very difficult to explain if I was alone with my autistic son who was thinking, oh, we're going to, say, Mickey's Filler Magic. Yeah, believe it or not, he would use a DAS pass for Mickey's Filler Magic. But we would get a return time to come back, and then I would say, well, yeah, we've got to come back in 15, 20 minutes or whatever. He couldn't understand that. Why can't we go on and now? It was very messy. So the blue umbrellas were helpful because they were out in the parks. If I had to renew, I could go do it out there and I'd go back to the front. There wasn't one line to do so. And by the way, the whole thing became an online app that you could then operate off of that when you were in the park. Again, it wasn't a perfect thing. Sometimes you would be updated on the pass, but it somehow didn't kick in when you came through the gates of the park. And so you had to sometimes have to go to a Blue Umbrella to get the thing reconfigured so you could make the reservations. It was all that kind of stuff. But it was once they got most of the kinks out, that was better than what it was. Now, where it became a problem is, say, my wife and son went to the park, and she, it's time to update the pass. So she would go to a Blue Umbrella, update the pass, and then a week later, I would take my son. Oh, well, I've got to get myself on the pass, so I've got to update that. And then a week later, my daughter is joining us. She's part of the immediate family, so we had to stand. So you'd be standing in line for three times. Now they're saying, look, you're not going to be doing this in the park. What you're going to be doing is you're going to go to a live video chat. Even if you enter the park and you haven't done anything, you'll be directed to a place where you can do a live video chat. You can do it as soon as 30 days in advance of the park visit. Some have said that they've started doing this and that it didn't take very long to do it. They were done in minutes. I don't know if that's utilizing the previous, because you could go into a video chat prior. But what is different about this experience is that you are not just speaking to a cast member, but if needs be, you'll be able to speak to someone who has a healthcare background. They've partnered with a healthcare organization, and online video, you can talk to that individual. And I think this is an important distinction for two reasons. One is sometimes cast members just don't know. They get a lot of training, some more than others, but they don't really know. Having someone deal with, for instance, a guest with that may not be autistic, that may be dealing with Crohn's disease or coronary disease or some other, can't be out in the sun much and so forth. So there could be someone who can give better guidelines. The other thing that I think that this will do, doing this in advance, is it will stop a lot of the abuse. And yes, there were, I don't think it was half of all DAS users, but there was a lot of abuse of people who had found some script online and knew what right words to say in order to get a DAS pass, even though, and then they bring in 12 people with them. Well, you're not going to be able to bring in 12 people. And by the way, you're going to have to probably talk to a healthcare professional, and you're going to have to do that in advance. I think that will bring down substantially most of the abuse. Will there be abuse still? Probably. But I think it will bring down most of the abuse. What they have said in connection to this, and this is important, but it's been overplayed also. If it's determined, quote, if it is determined that any of the statements a guest made in the process of obtaining DAS are not true, the guest will be permanently barred from entering Walt Disney World Resort and the Disneyland Resort and any previously purchased annual passes, Magic Key passes, tickets, and other park products and services will be forfeited and not refunded. End of quote. I think that's making a very solid statement to that minority of people who chose to use, maybe they had a legitimate issue, but they were selling that DAS pass usage to parties saying, hey, I've got a disability for this much. You can be with me during the day. That was totally inappropriate. And I think this is an attempt to do that, to end that abuse. And I think by making these changes in how you register will be a big part of what will end the abuse. So that is step one, to register via a live video chat. And honestly, going back to some of the things I mentioned earlier about how my wife is lining up 1 week at the Blue Umbrella and then me the next week and then with my daughter the third week, I think this is going to be really good because it's going to discipline us. We're going to know when we need to register. We're going to line up when everybody's home at the with the family, especially my son. We'll do it once and it'd be done. We don't have to keep coming back to it. More importantly, is that where before it was up to 30 days, this is now moving to 120 days. And this is huge for us doing it because having to redo it all the time was painful. And so I love the fact, and by the way, I think Doing all of this is going to do so much to cut out those who are abusing the system. And I have to say, by the way, I don't have the exact numbers on me, but I would say that maybe, in my mind, even up to half of the people using DAS are locals. And they're not coming first thing on a Saturday morning. They are not going straight in the park and making that slinky dog DAS return time. I think if you were to look at the number of DAS pass holders in the morning hours at Slinky Dog, you would see a very different number or percentage than you would, say, at 5 p.m. in the evening later on. I think for locals like me, you come for a few hours. And by the way, if your child or individual who's the DAS registered guest doesn't want to do the ride, nobody's doing that ride, or you're simply going to be doing it through the standby line. I will also tell you that by doing these kinds of things, that they will be able to reduce to some degree. Is it 30% of the queue? I don't know. Is it bigger than that? Is it less than that? I don't know. But hopefully it will increase the speed of those in the standby line, because they are the most punished by this system. And I say punished by the system because, again, this is me speaking, but here's where we had the problem in the first place. Is we came up with this idea called the Fast Pass. And the Fast Pass then created two lines, and the standby line became so much slower. And I think, guess, with the challenge, I saw this a little bit in during COVID. We got rid of FastPass. It was kind of a period to allow them to remove the old FastPass and prepare eventually for the Genie Plus. But if you were there during that time, you will see that the movement of the queue went so much faster. Why? Because Imagineers have been designing attractions for years, whether it's Spaceship Earth or Pirates of the Caribbean or even attractions like Space Mountain, where you've got a two-track system going on. Tower of Terror, if they're running both drop profiles, the queue moves pretty quick. It's when we added the Fast Pass, which then became Genie Plus, that everything stalled. And that the need for something different for those who were not in the Fast Pass qualified or in the Lightning Lane, that's when we began to have problems. I think my son, with how quickly Imagineers have engineered most of those attractions, that they would have moved through pretty quickly. And he would have been fine, because he's like walking as if walking down the street on Main Street. It was really Fast Pass and then Genie Plus that I think has created this whole problem to begin with. That's me speaking. I would like to go back to those days and do away with all of this and just simply make it possible for everyone to be in the line and have it equal and fair. That's what I think Disney wants to do, but I also think Disney has gotten pretty attracted to the bottom line value of Genie Plus, and that's why they're looking at the issues of abuse and how this could be modified to better remove that abuse and create better bottom line profitability, create a better guest experience for those in both the Lightning Lane and in the standby line. I think all those things are good that comes out of it. Regardless of what your disability experience is, or if you don't, I really do believe that by and large, this is going to create a better experience for all involved. And so I invite you to not allow headlines like the kind I read earlier to impact your experience. They're going to be bumps to it. There's going to be IT issues. There's going to be reservation system issues, virtual queue, I think there are going to be some challenges, but by and large, I think it's going to be a better experience for all involved by, at the end of the day. Well, thank you for joining me for this Disney Insights podcast. I apologize that I have not provided a podcast in the last previous week, but this much I do promise that there will actually be two podcasts this week. So make sure that you are subscribed to your podcast or to DisneyInsights.com so you can be made aware of our next podcast as it becomes available. We are, unless some big headline comes, we are looking to celebrate some of the great insights and lessons from the opening of the Disney MGM Studios 35 years ago. We're getting ready for that anniversary next week by providing a podcast later this week. So please stay subscribed. If you get a chance, please reach out to your subscriber. A positive rating or review is so helpful. If you get a chance, make sure you check out our YouTube page, Disney Insights, or our Wayfinder group, which is our opportunity to our Patreon site. So please check out all of those. Thank you for being part. Thank you for your patience. I hope that you find value in what you hear at Disney Insights. We are trying to provide you the best possible. And this, we say, have a great day. Remember, always follow the compass of your heart. See you real soon. Bye-bye.